No. Are you ready now?
I got 30 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
Okay. All right, we're live. Hi, family. Hi, church family. We just wanted to talk momentarily. I would love it if Pastor Nicole joined me. We wanted to talk just a quick minute about our fast. Being intentional is this year's theme. Amen. And we just talked about in-house today how being intentional means that you were made intentionally, that you get to be intentional about your love for Christ.
Go ahead.
Oh, and you get to be intentional about your walk, and you get to be intentional about your study time. And so we wanted to remind you, I'm going to ask Pastor Nicole to jump right in there, but this calendar that you saw in our newsletter that went out on Wednesday and that Pastor Ben will resend or Nicole will resend, this newsletter, this calendar is just a guideline. Please make sure that you are before the Lord about your own study time and about the way you are supposed to do this fast. We cannot tell you, we cannot substitute your relationship with God, nor will we pretend to be your physicians in this.
Amen.
Okay? So this is a guideline. We're telling you days that we are choosing to do full day fast, half day fast. For the whole month is fruits and vegetables for us, but that's our choice, right? Mm-hmm. That's our choice. We're being intentional about the way that we do this fast. And for the house and for everyone online, we will tell you to drink a lot of water.
Amen.
Drink a lot of water, please. Amen. And let's rid ourselves of those sodas and drinky and juicy drinks and sugary things. At the very least, let's say no to fast food, the man-made American diet. Let's say no to that and try to get back to those plant-based things. Amen.
Amen.
We're just wanting you to encourage you. But the most important thing is we want to strengthen being intentional about your relationship with our Lord and Savior.
Amen. She said it all. Amen. We will continue throughout the fast. Pastor Dre and I will upload messages of encouragement to our online members as well as our in-house members, just to really encourage you to stay in that word, encourage you to connect deeper with the Lord and be purposeful and as you walk with Him. This should really be a jump off to a greater relationship with the Lord. Amen. Amen. So continue, you guys. Let's just be intentional as He is intentional towards us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to pray. We're going to pray the big guy in, and we are going to get started on this word. Amen.
That's the big guy out
back. Mm-hmm. The big guy out back.
Okay. You sleep on this, huh?
All right.
My Bible is there. Could you hand me my Bible? Okay.
Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this day, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, for another opportunity to be together, dear Lord, in your name and supping with one another, dear Lord, before your word, dear Jesus. We thank you for Pastor Sandy, dear Lord. We pray over him right now, dear Jesus, that your word continues to ring to him and through him, dear Lord, that the saints came today with bowed hearts expecting to hear from you, dear Lord, and that through your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, you deliver on that word, on that excitement, on that expectation. We thank you for today, dear Lord. We are here to celebrate you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my beautiful wife. Hallelujah. Hey, what's up? Yeah, you. She's back.
Amen.
How you doing? Sakura Soraya. All right, we are going to get started here. I am Look, you see this, Pastor Ben? Sensational gave me. It said caffeinated and vaccinated. You see, you know who wrote this, who scratched in the red line?
You?
Me. Because I'm not. And I don't talk about that. I'm Pastor Ben. Okay. Are you guys ready for me today?
Yeah.
I hope so. I want you guys to know I do not play church. I don't pretend to be something I'm not. I don't like doing that. I don't like people who live like that. I like, if you're a bad person, but don't fake to try to be somebody you're not. And I do not fake Christianity for you, for no one, for views, for anything. I do not fake Christianity, okay? Amen. When I'm at home, I'm doing my best to live this, okay? I am not at home a different person than I am here.
Right.
I am trying to save people. I don't know what the tribulation is going to be like. I know it's coming. I don't know what it's going to be like. Daniel Hood told me what hell is like. And so I'm trying to save you, my friends, because I call you my friends. I'm trying to save you from hell or experiencing tribulation. That's what I'm trying to do. And I don't care about views. Oh, we got so many. Who cares? Only reason I would want to have views is if I want people to be getting saved, okay? This is not about getting a check from YouTube or whatever thing that we're on, okay? Who cares? Seeing people celebrating their, because YouTube is cinema, plaque and everything, when they get to a certain amount, and they're celebrating. I'm like, dude, that is not why God called you. This is not about playing church and getting views. This is about telling people the truth so that you can save them from hell and tribulation and teach them how to have a better life while they're here, okay? Because you can have, if you're a sinner or you're a fake Christian, you can do better and have a better life while you're here just by being obedient to God.
Amen.
Okay? So, I'm going to start off today with the scripture here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And if you have your Bible, I'd like you to go there because we're going to be in the Bible a little bit today. Just a little bit. Amen. Most of the important stuff to say is in there. Okay. I'm so thankful to God for a friend and a partner like Pastor Ben, because I don't know if I could have found someone that was willing to say, this is not about money, this is about salvation.
Amen.
And somebody who's sincere about getting people saved and praying for people and getting people healed. I don't know where I was going to find that person, but God gave me that person. Amen. And I'm very thankful to God.
Amen.
We've been in this for a long time. We've baptized a lot of people. We've had a lot of people come in and go.
Yep.
We've been packed. And we've been few, and I mean fewer than what you see now.
Amen.
Some people have left, and you know, they post everything, so they're living great Christian lives, and I love it. Some people have left, and they just went back to what they used to. It's not my fault. I'll tell you one thing, you leave S4C, you know better. Okay? So, but I'm still praying for them,
yeah.
Okay?
Nobody believes reality until reality hits. I want you to think about that. I work prison ministry, and what they tell people about prison, I think they should have a remember the show Scared Straight?
Yeah.
They used to bring the kids into prison
yeah.
and let them hang out with the inmates for a little while just to see what's going on. And you know, we don't get that to opportunity to go to hell and to say, wow, is this what it's really like? Okay, I don't want to go there. We can read about it, you know, but let me tell you, when I was doing prison ministry, there are people who came in there, the toughest guys in the world. I mean, they walked in with a stroll, calling out their gang sign, blah, 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 you know who I am. And within a month, they were curled up in a corner in a cell saying, I don't even want to go to lunch.
Wow.
Because if I go out there, they're going to try to kill me. So the reality of what prison is like and what they read is two different things.
Yes.
So I'm trying to tell you, be smart. You don't have to wait till reality hits for you to listen and for you to act. You can do it before it happens and be one of the smart people. You understand?
Amen.
Now, I'm gonna try. Pastor Ben, I don't know if this will even come out on camera, but when I do ask you if you could show it just a little bit, okay? Now, here in Matthew chapter 7, and we're reading here in verse 15, it says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. You hear that? So he doesn't say they come to you as wolves. They come to you in sheep's clothing. They come to you looking like I'm a Christian, and like the Bible says, many shall come saying that I am anointed. Not I am the Christ, I am anointed. And they said, and will mislead many people because they stand here and they say, God called me, and I am anointed. There's a guy right now going from country to country doing Illuminati services, knocking people out, waving his coat, whole crowds falling, squirming on the ground, screaming, thinking that they're having a Holy Spirit moment when they're having a Kundalini demonic moment and they don't know, but they think it's church because they want to see something.
Yeah.
It wasn't good enough for somebody to tell them that Jesus died on the cross. They want to go and see this power happen. So now you got a whole stadium of people, and I see 40, 50 people on their backs, squirming around, screaming on their backs. And I was like, when did Jesus ever heal somebody like that? Show me that one time in the Bible that Jesus says, I'm going to heal you. He touched the person and they fell on the ground and started screaming and squirming around. That doesn't happen. You understand? That's not how people are healed. If something's wrong with you, Jesus came and he healed you and you looked and you said, hey, look at me. And that's how it happens, okay? Or you walk away and all of a sudden it happens and then you say, look, they got healed. But if you follow the falsehood of what Satan has given the church, you will follow anything. You understand? I'm trying to get Christians to stop following church because there's no need for it.
Amen.
The Bible tells you how this works.
Amen.
It says here, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from a thorn bush or figs from a thistle? No, you don't get figs or grapes off of thorn bushes. You understand?
Amen.
Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. Pastor Ben, I like your fruit.
I like your fruit.
You know why? We've been friends a long time. Nobody has ever come to tell me Pastor Ben mistreated them, or Pastor Ben, I saw Pastor Ben hitting on some other chick somewhere, or Pastor Ben, nothing like that. But I do know of Pastor Ben feeding people that he sat down to eat lunch and they were there and he just decided, I'm gonna buy them lunch and talk to them about Jesus. I like his fruit. You understand? If you say that you follow Christ, I'm going to see some fruit growing on your tree that's going to look like you follow Christ. Okay? And so it says, thus by their fruit you will recognize them. I'm not going to read verse 21 because we're going to come back to that, okay? Thank you. Thank you. Okay, now, here comes the tricky part, Pastor Ben. I was watching a guy named Vadi, a black guy, big beard, and doctor, theologian. Every time I watch him and I want to get into him, because like he played football, he's going all over the country and the world doing these intellectual talks about the Bible. He seems to be, you know, but every time I try to watch him, the Holy Spirit go, no. So I just not go back. But then, you know, he's all over the place. So I go, I'm gonna watch this one. But Holy Spirit said, no. So I was like, why is the Holy Spirit always pulling me away from this, just watching this guy? Then he was speaking against, you know, the new Black Lives Matter thing. He was speaking against that. And I was like, let me. And he's like, God's like, no. So I'm like, why? So I saw one thing and I said, it said, is the rapture in the Bible, by Vadi, Dr. Vadi Bokum or whatever his name is. So I said, oh, I got to listen to this, Lord. Lord's like, go ahead. I never tried this before, Pastor Ben, but I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh.
Now watch it. It's only 2 minutes, but I want you to hear this, okay?
Despite insurmountable evidence,
because people don't like the Book of Revelation, it's because of the pictures of death and blood.
Can you hear that?
It's real stuff. Streets filled with blood. It's there. Sin is real.
Okay.
Suffering is real. Martyrdom is throughout this letter. Martyrdom is real. People die for the cause of Christ. Our adversary is real. His war against the church is real. His hatred of God and the people of God is real. And we do not get raptured out of here so that we don't get to taste it. I believe for most people that just makes sense. That just makes sense. If God's going to rapture the church out of here so that we don't taste tribulation, didn't he kind of forget John and the boys? Amen, somebody. What about our brothers and sisters in China right now? Can we really say to them with a straight face, don't worry, before it gets really bad, he's going to rapture us out? For real? Do you know how we have to live right now? No, suffering is real, and it's real for the people of God. And in fact, in many instances, the people of God suffer worse than others do because they're the people of God.
You hear that? PhD. PhD.
power off.
Chuck, Mr. used to say PhD stands for piled higher and deeper in foolishness.
Say that again.
Chuck, Mr. used to say PhD stands for piled higher and deeper in foolishness. Mm-hmm. That means you know more about nothing than anybody. You know more worthless stuff than anybody.
Anybody. Wow.
But they give you a degree. When you're working for God, you cannot use a PhD. If you got a PhD and God didn't call you, you think you're going to be anointed?
No.
Okay. So education is not the criteria to being called by God.
Amen.
He says that the Christians are going to suffer worse in the tribulation than anyone because we're Christians. Because there's not going to be a rapture and we're going to go through all of that pain. And now he has a PhD. Let me tell you, here, look, born in Los Angeles, studied at New Mexico State University and Rice University, played football. See, I liked him. But I know we're not the smartest, and God has to change that. He then transferred to Houston Baptist, where he graduated with a BA, and then he went on to get his Doctor of Divinity at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Wow. Now, at Southeastern Baptist Seminary, and then it says he served as a pastor of Grace Family Baptist Church in Spring, Texas, a congregation within the Southern Baptist Convention.
Oh, that answers it.
That answers it. Then I looked at all of the pastors that are in the Southern Baptist Convention, and all of them were there, you know, all of the Steve Furtick, you know, everybody who's there was that they said, these are all of our pastors. He was one of them. So, and I'm going to tell you what God said. God said, when I was doing it, he would say this, because I don't want to sit up here and say, God just said no. He would say, tool of Satan, turn it off. Tool of Satan, turn it off. Tool of Satan, turn it off. Why? But he's traveling everywhere. Every university. Stadiums packed. As he gives an intellectual knowledge of the scriptures. And if you're not anointed, you shouldn't do this. You understand? Now listen. It doesn't even take a lot of studying to know that the rapture is real.
Amen.
That to have a PhD and to make that statement is crazy. It doesn't take a lot of scriptures to know that the rapture is real. Okay? I start praying for him. Because that would be a horrible thing, the rapture happened and you not be there, but you've been preaching all over the world. And then you got to go back and watch this video. It's not good. Let's go to Titus. The book of Titus. The doctrines of the Southern Baptist Convention are two major doctrines. Once saved, always saved, and no pre-tribulation rapture. Now, every leader, you can't be a leader in the Southern Baptist Convention unless you're a Freemason. So all of them are Freemasons. They have 46,000 churches in the United States that they appoint. They appoint pastors to, okay? And so all of these pastors that they're appointing, they make sure that they're sticking to doctrine.
Wow.
So they have to all be once saved, always saved, and they all have to be no pre-tribulation rapture. You can talk about the rapture, but you have to say it's midterm or after the tribulation. Because they're trying to send us an antichrist.
Yeah.
And when he comes, they have to have churches structured in different places so that when he comes, they can say, see, the aliens took those people. Christ is back, just as we told you. Because I keep trying to tell you, antichrist doesn't mean anti. Right. Someone is coming to say that he is Christ.
Yeah.
When he produces when he produces the 7-year peace agreement, is going to be because he believes that he doesn't believe he is, but he's selling himself as Christ. He's calming the world down. He's bringing peace. Do you know what the Jews believe that the Messiah is going to do? He's going to bring peace. And he's going to allow them to rebuild their temple. He's going to do both. So he's not coming as some person that hates Jesus and hates Christians. When he first comes, he's going to tell you he is Jesus and that he loves Christians and he's the Christ. Now, like I said, their doctrines are once you're saved, you're always saved. Their doctrine is don't worry about the rapture because it's only going to happen in mid-trib or not going to happen at all. Okay? Titus. In the book of Titus chapter 2, let's start at verse 15. Is it there, these things? Wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. We're starting in verse 11. We're starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's Jesus Christ, right? Yes. Now, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions, to live lives of self-control, upright, and godly lives. Let me read this again. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled lives, upright, godly lives in the present age, while we wait for what? The blessed hope.
Yeah.
What's that? That's the rapture.
Amen.
The Greek even says it better, but we don't have to do it. That is the rapture. I could show it to you in two languages, both Greek and Hebrew, that the blessed hope is the rapture. We're looking forward to the blessed hope.
Yes.
The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage, rebuke with all authority.
Yes.
Do not let anyone despise you. That's what they despise me for. You know that? Pastor Sandy teaches that you have to live for Jesus to be saved. That you actually have to learn how to stop sinning to be saved. That you have to get God involved in your life and deal with stuff that's going on in the inner you. Because self-control means I got control of my anger.
Yep.
He says, our God teaches us to have self-control. Do you know Christians don't flip out?
Amen. Right.
We don't flip out because we have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of self-control.
Yes, come on.
This guy one time hit his finger, his thumb with a hammer while he was hammering, and he said, "Darn, ouch!" And he said the guy looked at him like this. He said, "Man, you didn't even say one curse word and you hit your finger hard." He said, "I'm a born again Christian."
Yeah.
We don't do that. He said, can I go to church with you next week? He said, because I've never seen nobody do that. He said, I would have said every curse word available if I had hit my finger like that.
Wow.
And went to church with him. Now, do you know what he was to him? He was a Bible. He was a testimony of Christ.
Yeah.
You can't be a testimony to Christ unless you're living it.
Amen. 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 Amen.
God wants us to live lives of self-control.
Yes.
Things on TV that I shouldn't be watching, you know what? I turn them.
Amen.
I have a remote. Back in our days, we got up.
Got up, yeah. They don't.
And you flipped anymore. It from two to.
They don't know about that.
But I got a remote.
Amen.
You don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. God is asking that you have self-control. Look, live lives of self-control, upright, godly lives. Wow. While we wait on this blessed hope. So I'm asking Christians, don't be a fake Christian. Who cares if you go to church? Nobody really cares. You go to church and you come home and you like that, no one cares. Young man just left here said, you know what? I don't even deal with him no more. I was like, why not? What he does here is not him when he's not here. Said, well, let's get together Tuesday and talk about it. Because nobody wants to be around people like that. Imagine you got a Bible on your desk and you're just treating everybody like trash. You're the supervisor. You're treating everybody like trash. But you got your Bible and your Jesus sign. Does anybody really believe you're a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Amen.
Let's continue. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 57. We're going to get back to Matthew in a little while. This is what I do to save you. This is what I do. I'm telling you, God expects more.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. Okay? I am not, God did not call me. God told me, write this down. He's like, where is that? He said, your job is to not only tell people how to get saved, your job is to tell people how to stay saved.
Amen. That's good.
So that means getting and staying are two different things.
Yep.
I'm not here to tell you how to get married. I'm here to tell you how to stay married.
Yes.
You understand? And if you don't want to stay with God, I can't do anything for you. God already laughed at me on that. I thought I was the greatest preacher ever. It's like, God, I got all these young people. I'm preaching the word. I'm getting in there. I got the Hebrew going. And some of them are still sinning. What's wrong? The Lord said, I don't know who you think you are. I split a sea. People walk through it. And you know what they did when they got to the other side? They started sinning.
Yeah.
So he said, welcome to the club. I don't know who you think you are. People hear the word all the time, but they gonna be them. He said, that's why I made heaven and hell. Because if you have a spirit of disobedience, it's the spirit of witchcraft.
Yes.
And we had one of them here.
Yes.
In heaven, he said we had one with a spirit of witchcraft in him, and we kicked him out. And he was able to fool a third of the angels who really had iniquity in them. They wanted to do what he did, so they left. God's like, I'm not trying to save people who willingly don't want to be saved. If you don't want to be saved, I wish y'all could see. Snoop Dogg's little brother came to juvenile prison, walked up in there, you better tell them to know who I am, throwing up signs and all. Yeah, anybody mess with me. 2 weeks later, I don't want to go outside. They're going to try to kill me. Can I just stay in my cell for 23 hours and just come out for 1 hour by myself? They worked that out for him. He stayed in his cell for 23 hours because he was scared to go out there. I couldn't blame him. They was going to get him. But that's the reality right. of prison. You understand? Right. The reality of hell is torment, fire. You don't have to. You can walk up in there bad, but I tell you what. Few minutes. This is what I'm trying to save you from. And the only way I can save you from it is to tell you the truth. Okay? Now watch this. That guy must not know about this. Okay. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse 1 and 2, it says, the righteous avad. Don't read that word perish because it's a bad interpretation. And the more I'm reading Hebrew, I'm like, this whole book, some of it really needs to be changed. And put the real Hebrew words in there. Mm-hmm. The righteous avad, which means disappear, and no one ponders in his heart. Devout men are taken away. That means collected like fruit. And no one understands that the righteous have been taken away to spare them from evil. Yeah. Why have they been taken away? To spare them from evil. The word means avad, means to disappear. That means like vapor that you see or smoke vanishing. Okay? So he says the righteous are going to disappear and no one understands what has happened. Look, the righteous, it says, no one ponders in his heart. Devout men are taken away and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to spare them from evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in, and it says beds in Hebrew, but they wrote death here. As they lie in their beds. But you, come here, you sons of sorcery, you offspring of adulterers and prostitutes, who are you mocking? The Bible says now, after the rapture, now who are you mocking? Now who are you saying, oh, there ain't gonna be no rapture, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like Noah sometime. Psh, right, water's gonna come out of the ground, out of the sky. And we're all going to drown. We better get swimming suits. You heard what Noah said. I can imagine some of the stuff he had to hear before it actually started raining. But then after it started raining, what happened? They said 7,000 men and women came to the boat and said, Noah, let us in. He said, aren't you the same people who said that there was no God?
Yep.
Said, yeah, but the water is getting too bad and we might drown if you just let us in. He says, you had 120 years to change. Why are you coming to me now?
Yep.
So the reality is always going to set in. I'm not preaching to you a fairy tale. I'm preaching to you the Bible, which has every prophecy has been fulfilled. If you want to know the truth, get on a plane, go to Israel, stand where the temple used to be. This Bible tells you the truth.
Yes.
And so I'm trying to tell you the truth about how to live, not how to get saved. I can teach you how to get saved. Believe, confess, be baptized. I can't change your heart, though.
Right.
Only you can say, I need to get in my word. There's things inside of me that aren't like Christ that the Holy Spirit can help me deal with. And I need to purge those things out so that I can walk in sanctification. What is sanctification? A verb that means I'm in the process of cleaning up the house.
Yes.
That's all sanctification is. I'm sanctifying myself. I'm cleaning up myself continually. I'm never letting things go. I'm never saying, well, that's just the way I am. I drink and that's what I do. God needs to understand that. Okay. You're the parent. Go ahead. I thought you were a child of God, but if you're the adult of God, you go right ahead. So God is trying to get people to do right and not just confess, I know Jesus. You understand?
Amen.
And it doesn't matter whether you say you're in ministry or you're not in ministry. Okay? A lot of Christians. I don't even want to go there. Let's finish reading.
Amen.
Let's go to Malachi chapter 7. I think it's Micah. Let's go to Micah chapter 7. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 1. What misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit, the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. The godly have avowed from the land, same Hebrew word, vanished. No one, he says, not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. So this is talking about an event that once the disappearance comes, all of men are out for blood. Everyone is hunting their neighbor with a net. You understand? It's telling you after the disappearance, this is the evil that's going to come upon the world. And you have to understand, Christ said, mothers will be against their daughters. Daughters will be against their mothers. Sons against their whole attitude is going to turn to survival,
yeah.
Even if it takes me thinking and telling on you.
Yep. Amen.
It says, all men lie in wait to shed blood. Each man hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled with doing evil. The rulers demand gifts. The judges accept bribes. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them are like briars, and the most upright like a thorn hedge. Thorn hedges and briars don't produce fruit. These people are evil. You understand?
Amen.
And that symbol is a symbol of Satan. So he says most of them are satanic. The day of your watchman has come. What am I?
Watchman.
Am I a prophet? No. If I was a prophet, we'd been gone a long time ago. But I am a watchman. And I'm watching. See, the day of the watchman is coming.
Yes.
The day that the watchman is no longer a fool. Don't get it wrong. I know I'm ridiculous until the rapture happens. I am a complete nut. Till the rapture happens. Me and Noah, we're going to sit down and talk. I'm like, you was a nut. See, until it started raining. So you have to understand, God, Noah didn't write about the rain coming down. Pastor Sandy didn't write about the disappearance. This is God's book. You understand? God wrote about Israel coming back into a nation in 1948. So it happened. God wrote about they're going to have a currency that's going to be 666, and it's coming. And they're formulating it right now, and they got it coded 060606. And you're like, oh, they're doing it. It's like I wrote it. So what God says is going to come true. I am 100% confident that two will be in one place, one will be taking another one left. I am 100% confident. Two will be lying in the bed, one will be taken, the other one left. I am confident that it will happen. Okay? So understand that what is going on. I need us to go to Revelation chapter 4 right now. I'm almost finished, Pastor Ben, before you do your thing. Now, what I call this is Revelation chapter 4 versus Revelation chapter 15. okay? In Revelation chapter 4, you're going to read about seven lampstands standing on a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Those seven lamps are the seven churches. Those are people who were raptured, and they're standing on a sea of glass because they're at peace. Then in chapter 15, you're going to read about another group of people standing on a sea of glass, but it's mixed with fire and turmoil because they came out of the tribulation. So there are some people going to make it to heaven after going through the tribulation, but through a lot of pain and they said, when they get there, you know, they tell them, don't worry, you're not going to be starved anymore. You won't be thirsty like you were and running for your life anymore. Congratulations, you made it. When they make it, okay? Or if they make it. Because I'm telling you right now, I want nothing to do with it. Because you're talking about no hamburger in 4 weeks, and you're talking about all I got to do is just get the chip. I'm hungry. Like we used to tell my mom, I'm hungry. I don't know how you're going to be able to fight it unless God's going to do some miraculous thing to feed people. Because, look, we could go through stuff, and I'll show you they're planning a famine.
Yeah.
And guess what? Check this out, this technology they have. You're going to have to show your chip just to get into the store.
Yeah.
See, because what I was thinking is, like, people just rush the store and grab the food. What up? You got to show your chip before you go into the store. Before you go into the aisles that have food behind it, you got to show your chip. They got that technology coming. All these stores are going to change. They started changing some in Walmart. They have some in Walmart, right, that is not hooked up to the chip. But understand this. Nobody's going to be rushing to stores and grabbing what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They're working this out. Satan, look, I keep telling you this is a war and it's going to happen. I keep telling you there's some people that are going to make it and there's some people that are not going to make it. It's all based on the fact that you are taking God serious in your walk. Is it based on the fact that you confessed one day, 10 years ago? Your job, Sandy, is not to just tell people how to get saved. I talk to you when God talks to me. Your job is to tell people how to stay saved.
Right. Amen. 10 minutes, Pastor Sam.
Okay. Revelation chapter 4. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after that. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper, carnelian, a rainbow resembling emeralds. And encircled the throne, surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns on their head. And it says, from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne were seven lamps, were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Chapter 1 says the seven lampstands are the seven churches.
Yes.
So now, the seven churches are in heaven. They've been called up. They're standing there. Let's go to chapter 15. The scripture says we're gonna celebrate. And we're gonna party with each other, and we're gonna congratulate each other.
Yeah.
That's what that picture says. See that Shabbat? See what this says? This says Shabbahuhu. It says rejoice. That word right there means you're going to celebrate by congratulating each other. It says you're going to celebrate congratulating each other with complete joy. You understand? It says, Kol Goim Shebachahu. Celebrate. You're going to celebrate. You know, when the Lord gave me the vision, we were all family. Nobody felt like they were unrelated. We felt like we were one big family. And I was like, that's how it is. So I want you to know and understand the reality of heaven is reality. Okay? And I'm planning on getting there by sanctifying myself. I'm not planning on getting there by the fact that I said a prayer when I was 17 years old or got baptized 30 years ago. I'm on a sanctification process here. I'm trying to get myself prepared so that when the trumpet blows, I'm ready. Yeah. Watch chapter 15. Oh, here we go. I saw in heaven, this is after the tribulation, I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with seven last plagues. Last because with them the great wrath is complete. I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast. They met him and his image. And over the number of his name. What's the number of his name? 666. They had victory over it, or they escaped it and they made it in. I don't want to meet them.
Amen.
I don't want to know nothing about the tribulation. I don't want to know nothing about running for my life. I don't want to know nothing about being offered the chip. I don't want to know about it. That first sea of glass, that's where I want to be. At peace.
Yeah.
Okay? Last scripture, let's go back to Matthew. And we're finishing up here, Pastor Ben. We read verse 15. It says to be careful of false prophets. They got a guy preaching on TV, and he's going from church to church, big churches, right? And he's doing the Kundalini thing too. And he's preaching. He has black hair. I don't know if you guys ever saw him. He wears a black leather coat. He looks like an old rock singer, right? He has an all black leather coat, black shirt, black pants, and he just looks like a witch while he's preaching, right? But he's up there and he's talking. And he starts talking about Hebrew and Gematria, and someone sent it to me and said, I think you'll like this guy. As soon as I looked at him, I'm like, I don't think so. But let me check it out. So I said, let me look at some other stuff. He's on a show, and he's telling them, well, you know, Kenneth Copeland is a prophet to the nations. I said, that's all I need to hear. I just turned it off. I was like, okay, I understand where he's coming from now, right? Because if he thinks Kenneth Copeland is a prophet to the nations, there's something wrong with him.
Yeah.
But he's dropping the Hebrew. He's wrong on a, you know, I'm like, psh, that was wrong, but go ahead, at least you're trying, you know. But he's dropping all this knowledge, and the people, oh man, amen. And then he does the thing where, you know, the people fall out and all this stuff, and I was like, wow. But then he says, hey, Kenneth Copeland is a prophet to the nations. And I thought, turn that off. Look, everybody that says, Lord, Lord, everybody that stands up and preaches, study to show
thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly divided.
Operative word, thyself.
Yeah.
You're responsible for you.
Yep.
Don't you be sitting up here telling me people, well, you know, Pastor Sandy told me. I don't care what your pastor, what does the Bible say?
Right.
And why are you following Pastor Sandy? What if Pastor Sandy turns left and Jesus turns right? Who are you going to follow? If y'all follow me, y'all crazy. If Jesus turns that way and I turn that way and y'all follow me, y'all been watching too much YouTube.
Yep.
Because I'm going to follow what Jesus says over what any man says.
Yeah.
Here we go. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We just read his will. His will is that you live godly lives, self-controlled, holy before God. That's what his will is that you live right.
Yes.
That you live self-controlled. That you're not a mean person all the time. That you don't like being a drunkard. That you don't like hanging out in clubs. And you don't like going to strip clubs. And you don't, and then go to church. Which happens, you guys. I know you guys don't think it happens. It happens.
Yeah.
So God is like, this is why I'm sending reapers. You know why? To separate the wheat from the tares. Because some of that's wheat and some of it's not. But professional harvesters at the rapture knows who is who. Did I say you have to be perfect?
Nope.
But you're working on a sanctification process.
Yeah.
I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be anything that's not like Christ. Tria told me she wanted to do something. Immediately, I jumped in. It's all about me, Mo. And the Holy Spirit, like, check yourself. Treat your wife as Christ treats the church. And I was like, yes, dear, that would be a wonderful idea. Love you. And the Holy Spirit, like, I thought so. And then am I supposed to feel like, yeah, now she's starting to make me do what I don't want to do, and I'm the man. No, I don't do that. I go, thank you, Holy Spirit, for making me be more like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not all about me.
Amen.
You understand?
Yeah.
That's sanctifying. Now, when the air pump didn't work and I ripped it out of the thing, I didn't do too good that day. I didn't do that good, but I prayed about that. And I said, Lord, I need more self-control. Just because I lost $2 and the machine didn't work, didn't mean I needed to rip that hose off the machine. I'm bad with no church members around, Lord. Help me, Lord, help me.
Yeah.
Now see, if that happened again, I say, well, you just got the $2. God bless you and I leave. Because I'm sanctifying. You understand? I'm getting better.
We out of time, Pastor.
You want a drink? No, thank you. You're getting better.
Amen.
You understand? Everybody in the room smoking weed, but you, but they invited you. I'm leaving. I don't need to be here. You're getting better. You understand?
Amen.
Sanctify yourself. Keep the process of getting better. Here it is, and I'm going to finish here. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Don't I have a PhD? Didn't I go from church to church? And he says, and in your name, didn't we drive out demons and perform many miracles? They was doing stuff in the name of Jesus. Come out of him so I can hurry and get to the strip club.
Ooh, mercy.
See, y'all don't think it's going on, but I know that hotel manager said we had a pastor's convention, and he said every room has sold more pornography than ever during the pastor convention.
See, that ain't even right.
And I said, that's impossible. He's on the news saying this.
Ooh.
He just had a pastor convention. And I'm like, he's faking on them. Because their wives are probably not there and all of this, but this is what they do when others aren't watching. But when others are watching, they're like this. Didn't I not drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will say to them plainly, I never ginosko you. We didn't have a relationship. We didn't have a relationship. That's what it means. I never knew you. Meaning we never had a relationship. Because a relationship is based on the fact that if you do something that I don't like, we talk about it and we have a relationship going. You understand? God saying, with me and you, we never had a relationship. You did what you wanted whenever you felt like it. You never confronted me. I would try to talk to you. You would still do what you want. You never really got to the point where you wanted to have a relationship with me and listen to me so that I could save you. But now here we are, and you're saying, Lord, Lord, away from me, you evildoer. Everybody's not going. Listen, everybody doesn't go. It's people who are taking their relationship and have oil in their lamps and they're not lukewarm and have on the garment of Christ. These are the people. I don't want to lie to you and tell you that it's being graded on a curve that, you know, I don't want to lie to you. I want to tell you that what Jesus says, there's a narrow way that leads to the kingdom and there's a broad way that leads to the other place. Jesus told them, get on the narrow road. Very few are saved. I'm repeating Jesus. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm repeating Jesus. He's saying you've got to, without sanctification, no one will see God. If you're not in the process of sanctification, if you're not in relationship with God, he says you will not see him. Membership means zero. Relationship means everything. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Ooh, that was a good foot stomping joy.